How does it feel to be a university president in these days of student unrest and budget cutting? Uncomfortable, to say the least. You and your family live in an atmosphere of perpetual crisis. When you wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night, you wonder, what will go wrong today? When you hear a fire engine or a police siren, you ask yourself, is it for the university? Has someone set a fire or blown up a building or organized a riot? You hope for good news when you answer the phone or open the mail, but more often than not, it is an alumnus or a taxpayer complaining that you are too soft. Why don't you get rid of those radical out-of-state students and professors? Why don't you make them cut their hair? Why do you permit the student newspaper to use four-letter words? Why did you allow that speaker to talk on campus? Don't expect a gift from me. Don't expect more money from the legislature until you crack down. And what is all this talk about due process? Or it is the parent of an activist student. How dare you have my son arrested? You say he was breaking windows and disrupting classes? Why, he is nonviolent, like Thoreau and Gandhi. It was your police force that brought on the violence. Or it is a student group insisting on the right to be heard and to present 27 non-negotiable demands. Or it is an anonymous call or an anonymous letter filled with obscenities and threats. That's what it's like to be a university president these days. You're caught between, you're in the middle, and denounced from both sides. You are denounced when you try to defend civil liberties and allow dissent, but prohibit violence and disruption. You are denounced when you use necessary force to keep the university open, but stop short of the repression that destroys academic institutions. You know that much of what the protesters say is right, and that there is great need for change in America, that we must get rid of poverty and prejudice and war. And you know that the other side is right, too, and that the need is for reform and not for revolution. So you do your best and try to think calmly and do some long-range academic planning and building, not always with success. When I resigned as president of the University of Wisconsin after 8 years in office, long enough, my resignation was greeted with enthusiasm by the extreme right, including some legislators and certain members of my governing board. Harrington is a liberal, they said, and there is no room for such as he in these days when we need law and order. News of my resignation was also greeted with enthusiasm by the extreme left, including the campus newspaper in Madison. Harrington is a moderate, they said, and there is no room for such as he in these days of revolution. Is that the whole story? Not quite. There are those who know that presidents do try, and that there is a proper middle ground between repression and revolution. On hearing of my resignation, one of the state's great conservatives wrote to me, "I weep for Wisconsin." And at my last board meeting, a Mexican-American spokesman from Milwaukee said, "We're going to miss you. You're the only one who had the guts to speak up for us." Being a president is difficult these days. It wears you down. It is fortunate that the presidential term is shrinking from the old average of 12 to 20 years to half that length today. Well, would my wife and I do it again? Most certainly we would. With the troubles go many satisfactions. And the fact is that in a university presidency, you can accomplish a great deal for the institution and for the nation. Remember, the university remains the center of society. And as a university president, you are at the center of the action. Where else would you want to be?